To the role, different players, different strokes.
But let me tell you about one thing. I know everybody's got a seed to sow. Set your heart apart, take it down the road. Everybody's got a seed to sow.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the WPTF Weekend Gardener. Mike Raley here. Boy, this is a high chair here. Need to bring myself. It's like some of the egos in this business. It's just way out of hand. Got the big head, and I'm sitting up. Yeah, it is a high chair. My microphone doesn't want to cooperate. It's just got kind of morning, folks. But we have peaches. Johnny, did you get your peaches?
I didn't get peaches yet.
It's Johnny Coley. Here, have some peaches.
Wow.
We have a special guest. Morning, Brother Rufus. How are you, sir?
Well, it's common.
Well, as common.
That's an old mountain saying, Gary. As well as common. You'd have heard that up in Nashville.
We have meteorologists on the show occasionally from the National Weather Service, usually, and they are so helpful. And we decided we'd bring one in this morning of our own. Gary Stevenson, chief meteorologist at Spectrum, is with us this morning. Gary, I've watched you many times. I'm in awe of all the math classes that you had to take.
I'm in awe that I actually passed those math classes.
Well, welcome to the show, my friend.
Well, thank you. I appreciate being here. Really a great opportunity. You know, from being Facebook friends, I'm into that gardening thing.
Wow, you're into gardening. You're a pilot. Mm-hmm. Wow, I can't imagine. That's another thing that I could not do. So,
William ought to be buddies. Our buddy William, the
air traffic controller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. William is William is laid up. He did something to his foot. I saw. Oh, thank you, Joel. I'll tell you that service.
Well, for those at home who don't know what just happened, Mike forgot his headset.
Yeah. That's I've accumulated several over the last 50 years, but
need a head fix.
Somewhere I need a head fix. Definitely.
So I guess we can thank Gary for this beautiful weather this morning that we're having.
Gary, yes. Yeah, we certainly shall.
You might as well, because I get blamed for the bad all the time.
Oh, my goodness.
But this ain't your usual August weather.
No,
I mean, normally we're hot, humid, we're at 90 degrees, but, you know, after what we went through earlier this week with all the flooding and everything, it's nice to have a little bit of weather to kind of clean up and get our get ourselves back together.
So you're from God's country, Dunn.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I was telling you off air, I thought you were from the western part of the state, but you work there.
Worked there. Went to school there, too. Got my atmospheric science degree, which is the same as meteorology degree, but it just sounds cooler, atmospheric sciences. Got it from UNC Asheville. Did an internship at the ABC affiliate up there, WLOS.
Yeah.
And that transitioned into a 13-year career there. I actually became their first chief meteorologist.
Fantastic.
Which was really cool, and then had the opportunity to come here.
Atmospheric science?
Sciences, yes.
Yeah, if I were to sign up for a class like that when I went to NC State, if they even had it, then I would be like a cat who's creeping into a room expecting to be jumped.
Yeah.
Oh.
Actually, you would enjoy, all of you would enjoy intro meteorology.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure.
We have a mutual friend who I won't mention because he went into another field, but he started out in meteorology. at NC State. His freshman year, I guess the first semester maybe, he kept finding himself the last person to leave the classroom during tests. So he decided at some point he better get out while the getting was good. It's a tough field.
It is the math that we were talking about. Yeah, when I was there, it was three semesters of calculus. It's four semesters.
Oh, Lord,
it's four semesters of calculus now.
My blood pressure goes up.
I have enough trouble calculating anything.
Hey, guys, I will not lie. For 20 years after I graduated, I would have nightmares that I did not pass calculus.
Well, Rufus didn't think he had graduated from Carolina.
Yeah, I had a recurring nightmare, Gary, for years. And when I first went to Carolina, I had not taken calculus. And for some reason, the Lord smiled on me. You could substitute Latin for calculus. I never found the connection, but Latin came in handy.
And you know your Latin.
Yeah, weenie weedy wiki and res ipsa loquitur. Now that res ipsa loquitur is very common. The thing speaks for itself. If you're walking under a dangerous spot and something hits you on the head, it's your fault. The thing speaks for itself.
Well, shouldn't we swear in Gary as a member of the Weekend Gardener crew? I'll give it to you to swear him in.
Yeah,
Judge.
Yeah, all right. Do you take your oath seriously to be a person of great interest and will not flaunt your great expertise and will act like a common human being, so help you God?
Amen.
All right.
Hey, thank you, Judge.
And by the way, I got to pass along some hellos. Mike, Chris Thompson.
Oh, I love Chris Thompson.
Want to be passed along.
We got a million Chris Thompson stories. He's such a fine person and a great meteorologist. He really is. He's just such a smart guy. But please tell him hello for us. Oh. Now, you got a great guy with it, Vernon Turner.
Yeah, yeah.
He's very good.
He's about to become a papa.
Well, I'll tell you.
Little Vern's on the way.
It's always good to have security and a bouncer, and you've got that in Vern, plus a meteorologist. He's a big guy.
Well, I felt like I was tall until he showed up to the party. And now we were going to take a selfie a couple of years ago, and I'm like, Vernon, just sit down and let me stand beside you. But yeah, Vern, I've got a great team in Mets with
you really
Chris
do.
And
Lee Ringer.
Vern and Lee and Tom Miners. And actually, Tom, Vernon, and Lee are all NC State graduates.
Oh, great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they let me know it. And they let me know I'm the oddball with the UNC Asheville.
Well, Rufus has been dealing with that for years, being the UNC person. We haven't put a lot of pressure on him, I don't think.
Oh, the devil.
Well, hey, Mr. Rufus.
The kale, you say.
Yeah.
My favorite non-favorite vegetable, Gary, is kale.
Mm-hmm.
So I often
do you
say
like kale?
Kale, you say.
If you cook it right.
Ah, here we go.
You
got to
cook it right. Okay, I want to hear
now
that.
Now, how do you cook it?
Basically, frying pan, kind of steam it with some pepper flakes and try to tenderize it a little bit. Emphasis on the word try to tenderize it a little bit.
So, Rufus, you like hot pepper.
Yes.
So maybe that would kill whatever taste you don't like.
The hottest I'll go, though, is Tabasco peppers.
Yeah, and these pepper flakes are fairly mild.
No Carolina Reaper.
Well, Well, speaking of Carolina grads, my son is a law school grad at Carolina,
and he
loves all that hot stuff.
And is he hard to live with?
No, as long as I keep him fed on hot sauce and stuff like that. His wife has to deal with him now, so I don't have to worry about that.
Well,
and we got another Carolina grad in the family. My wife's a grad of the Carolina law school, pharmacy school.
Oh, my.
So, yeah, I'm doing
boy, is she smart.
Yeah, why she married me, I have no idea.
No. Y'all are both pretty intelligent. Speaking of Asheville and hot, my wife and I go up occasionally, and there's a candy store. I don't know, it's Asheville Candy or something like that in the downtown area. And they have Carolina Reaper encased in chocolate. Little small thing. They have skull and crossbone even painted on it. And I got a rising out of the folks I serve that to on the panel here one day. That's pretty
Nelson
tough stuff.
And I went into heaven opposite. Yeah.
There's a lot of sweating going on.
Yeah. Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's real hot, but I didn't want to touch it, really. So
I don't mind a little bit of heat, but I want my tongue to be able to taste things afterwards.
So you wouldn't like it. Maybe your son would.
I'm sure he would. Oh, by the way, Mr. Rufus, I want to pass along Tim. over at Spectrum.
Oh, my goodness.
Say hello.
Yeah. What a great guy. I've often said he's the best political commentator in America.
Yeah. He came in to do a thing on you. He went to your garden.
Yes.
And I guess your law office. And,
yeah.
He came in here.
I really loved that piece because he was so interested in my garden, and he wanted to know about the Chitlin Club, and I had to freeze up a little on that because, Gary, you have to be invited.
It's very secretive.
Very secretive. And
it's a club that was started by Governor Carr Scott back in the 1940s, and he thought everybody was a little too highfalutin around and thought he ought to bring everybody down. So he gathered some people together in Holly Springs and fed them chitlins.
Glad I wasn't invited to that party.
It's larrapin. It really is. And, so it's a secret society for the last, 80 years, I guess.
Well, it's very exclusive. You've got to be invited and passed on by the CIA, the Chitlin Investigative Agency. And I have people all the time saying, well, how do I join the Chitlin Club? Well, you don't ask.
No, you are chosen.
It's sort of like the 33rd degree in masonry. You don't ask for it. You get it if somebody in the high echelon says you have earned a 33rd degree.
Yeah. How about that?
I haven't yet.
You haven't yet?
No.
Okay. Well, I guess we should talk about gardening. I don't know.
Well, I was going to mention, y'all talking about hot sauce. I was going to throw a plug in for the Hot Sauce Festival in Oxford coming up September 12th and 13th. So they have a hot sauce festival there. They shut down main streets and downtown Oxford. It started out as a little small festival, and it's sort of grown over the years. I forget now when it started, but they have all kinds of hot sauce and cook-offs and things like that, and it's a big deal. There's a big pepper grower in Granville County that's based in Granville County, Bailey Farms, and they raise all kinds of peppers. They raise the ghosts, the reapers, and mainly the sweet peppers, mini sweets, I think, is probably one of their biggest sellers, and then jalapeno. And
do they have warning signs all over the place out there for that?
For that,
you don't want to go mix them in with that.
They have a pepper eating contest to see who can eat the hottest peppers. And I've
do
heard,
they serve anything else but hot peppers?
Yeah, they have other things. They have other vendors there.
Well, and, that's good.
Yeah.
You need a chaser.
Ice cream,
you need a chaser
ice cream,
for that.
Ice cream to cool down the peppers,
Or you have an ambulance there on.
EMS is on standby. Yeah. But they've often had to just call it a draw on the contest because, there's some guys that can just eat those Carolina Reapers like
it's
candy.
Well, the last man standing, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, we need to take a break after all of this mess, and we'll be back. And 919-860-9783 if you'd like to call us. Craig LaHoulier is going to be on from 9 till 10, so we'll talk tomatoes then or now, for that matter.
Have a tomato tasting, too.
Yeah, we'll have a tomato tasting. Yeah. I'm sorry we can't give some to everybody. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF. It's 8:19. We're back, I think, here. Let me see. Yep, we're back. We are joined by Johnny Coley, who's an extension agent in Granville and Person County. Brother Rufus, of course. And over here to my left is Gary Stevenson, who is from Harnett County, is a chief meteorologist with Spectrum Weather. I know you know who he is. And He loves gardening. So it's kind of how Rufus, somebody told me that Rufus, 20 years ago, told me that Rufus was a great gardener. And I said, I got to get him on this show. And he's been on ever since. So we hope you will come back after your experience this.
So far, so good.
Right.
But we're only 20 minutes in, so.
That's right. Anything can happen. So, Johnny, what's been happening up your way?
Oh, rain.
Gary, what the heck's going on?
First it was Sean. Well, actually, even before Chantal, of course, we've had all these thunderstorms.
Yeah.
And, we've got a warmer atmosphere now.
Humid.
And the problem with a warm atmosphere is it holds more water.
Yeah.
So these little localized heavy rain events that we're seeing have been more frequent. So, you know, even just an average thunderstorm, if it ends up in the wrong place, moving slowly, it can just wreak havoc with multiple inches of rain. But then Chantal got you, and then you ended up with this Wednesday's event where we had this rain that just kept streaming over the area. And there was one place in to the north of Cary, 11 inches of rain on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's scary.
I mean, that's tropical stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the scary thing, because we're just really getting into the meat of the hurricane season.
Yeah.
And you guys know for certain, Chantal was a weak system, and look what it did.
Yeah,
right.
It just moved so slow right across that area.
I mean, the ground is saturated, and you've got all of that tropical weather possibility of coming.
I don't even think we got an inch from Chantal for where I live in Southern Granville County. Yeah. And then, you know, Grant Person County got seven and a half inches in the areas. And, roads washed out. It was bad.
And the plants, most of the plants are, as long as you don't have them in a bog or something, are really
some
happy.
Field crops in Person County took it pretty
Farmers
hard.
Are having trouble getting into the fields.
Yeah, yeah. And there was a soybean. I think it was about a 50-acre soybean field that our fields crop agent showed me that was underwater.
Now, the corn has looked good this year, hasn't it?
Corn took a hit in that dry spell. We had that 2 week where that real hot weather, a couple weeks ago, and it was real dry. Corn took a hit then, but overall, corn has done better this year than last, because we had that drought in June last year that really set the corn back. But overall, corn is looking better there at the research station in Oxford, where our Granville County office is. It's a mixed bag, really. Even on the I think the superintendent of the research station is sort of scratching his head of what's going on, because they were all planted close to the same date, all the same different same varieties, everything's the same, and they're just so some look good, some look great, and some don't look good at all. So don't know really what's going on there. But the corn has, soybeans they look pretty good around the area. Everybody's wheat did better this year because of the had more moisture in the spring.
Right.
Didn't have that drought in June when they were trying to get the heads going. But overall, everything's looking pretty good. Those rain events that hit those field crops was here and there. It wasn't widespread throughout both counties, but if you were in a low lying area, it really did mess you up. Don't have my pulse on the tobacco crop as much as the field crops agent does.
Yeah.
So I don't really know what's they always have some black shank and different.
What about the vegetables? We got about 30 seconds.
The vegetables overall have fared pretty well. I mean, the foliar issues, I haven't heard much. I work quite a bit with the pepper grower there that I mentioned, and haven't had a lot of issues this year, but they do a pretty heavy fungicide spray.
Blueberries?
They're gonna keep them on spray. Blueberries did great this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was a great blueberry year. They were very prolific, and it was because of the rain, the early rain.
Is the season over for blueberries?
There's still some varieties that are still producing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk more about vegetables and your plants. I just got a text from Craig LaHoulier. He's not going to be able to be on this morning.
No.
Apologize for the short notice, but so I'm disappointed in that. But
yeah,
we'll have him on soon. Here on the WPTF Weekend Gardener, the news coming up. All right, so we're back on the WPTF Weekend Gardener. We were talking a bit about blueberries as we were going into the break. Johnny Coley's with us, Gary Stevenson, chief meteorologist at Spectrum, and Greg Gardner, and Brother Rufus is with us. Craig LaHoulier just contacted me and said he's not going to be able to be on this morning. That's very disappointing. Mm-hmm. We always love hearing from him.
Yes, we do.
And we were going to have a big ceremony with a tomato. I guess we'll do that at some point. You cleaned the tomatoes and you cleaned your pocket knife, I assume.
Yes, I did.
All right. Sterile.
Well, the tomatoes came to me by way of UPS.
This is a Rufus. This is his version of Rufus, of a Rufus tomato, right?
Yeah. Well, I have two versions here. and we're going to try each of them. Now, Gerald's got two also.
Let me look over here.
Yeah, that one's
fairly small, and the other one's larger,
right.
And yeller. Yeller.
Yeller.
And I'm going to cut this thing up, and we will have a taste test here of the smaller one that's it looks nice. I had one this morning for breakfast with an egg sandwich.
Oh.
And I found it to be delicious. So here we're going to start. And, Gary, I'll pass this around. And you go ahead and try this very small reddish Rufus tomato by Craig LeHoulier. See what you think.
Very tasty. Yeah. Very tasty.
Whoops.
Now,
I just dropped a fork. That's all right. No.
I know of no way to taste a tomato other than what we're doing.
No, no.
I'm going to just say this before I even... I am going to try this, but I'm not a tomato person. At all.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's just be a big boy today.
You will admit that on this show, that you're not a tomato person.
Yeah, it's a little more tart.
Yeah, that's what I like about it, the tart Rufus. Now, this one is a big yellow one and doesn't look like it's ripened yet. So when I see sour looks on your face, I'm going to say that I didn't get it ripe soon enough or let it ripen enough. But
Craig looks pretty ripe.
Well, it...
You're not looking at it from this angle.
I'm gonna sit down. I'm going to sit down so I don't drop anything again.
I'm seeing some green over here.
Yeah, now you're seeing some green. All right. Here you go, Gary. This is the second version of the Rufus.
Mike has shared an Epic Tomatoes book with me from Craig LeHoulier.
So, yeah, I hope, though we don't have Craig on this morning, we'll hope you'll...
Yeah.
They're not ripe enough, Gary?
It is.
Actually, it actually tastes pretty good, doesn't it?
Okay. Yeah,
no. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm amazed.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Johnny.
We're not going to force you to do that, Johnny.
It's good.
I mean, it's not Chitlin's, man, so, you know.
Hey, come on.
I'll relish it, right?
This is sacred. It's very sacred.
You know, I'm thinking, Mike, we might just have to invite Gary if he could get off. Well,
I don't know.
But it's on a Sunday night.
He seems very antagonistic.
I see severe weather that Sunday night.
No, you don't.
Did you say we had Steve? Steven.
Oh.
All right, we got Stephen. Good morning. You're on WPTF.
Good morning.
How's everything?
Everything is great. It's finally the sun is out.
Yeah,
you're
and,
welcome.
Yes, right, Gary. Gary takes full credit for that. I'm sorry you aren't up here to join us with these tomatoes, Rufus tomatoes.
I was going to say I'd like a slice of that Rufus tomato, the first one, not the second one, though.
The second one's actually better. Yeah, I think the second one's
a little.
I heard it wasn't ripe.
Yeah. No, I thought it wasn't
right because
it tasted right.
Yeah, but it's one of the it's real yellow on the outside, has a few red specks inside, but yellow otherwise, and very good.
You sure they weren't worms?
No worms. No worms.
Yeah,
so
it wasn't a half a worm. Right?
Well,
you probably had the first radio program testing of one of your tomatoes. And Craig said to me yesterday or Friday, he said, your tomato will be all over the world. Well, now, that's a good way to be really internationally famous.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, as if you weren't already.
The Rufus tomato.
So, Stephen, you're in Eflin. That I met my wife near Eflin. Over 50 years. We've been married 50 years. We were both counselors, lifeguards at Camp Chestnut Ridge.
Oh, that's I take hikes... pass there all the time.
We do too. We still go up there, and it's just a wonderful place. So that makes you really really a great guy, whether you are or not, in my mind, that you're from Eflin, because I love Eflin too.
I may change your mind in just a second.
No, go ahead.
All right.
What, you got to complain about the show, Stephen?
No, not at all.
Oh,
I love the show.
Right,
I've been listening for years and years, never called. I'm a transplanted New Yorker.
All right, we've got a lot of those around here.
All right. Well, we moved down here in 2013, and when we were scouting out the land, we saw these beautiful trees on the side of all the roads that we didn't know what they were. Turned out they were crepe myrtles, so when we bought our house, we planted four of them, and they're doing beautiful in terms of their growth and their green, but they don't flower that much.
Mm. Well, they do you know what varieties they are? Not that that matters that much.
I have no idea. Okay. They're pink.
Pink.
They're
pink. All right. Do you have them in full sun?
They're in full sun. In fact, this year they're in more sun than they have been because we took down a couple of trees that were on the lawn that were near them.
Do you have do you fertilize your lawn quite a bit with nitrogen fertilizer?
I don't typically. The last couple of years we haven't done a real good job of fertilizing the lawn because we've had some trouble with some trees, which we now took down. The trees were killing the lawn and.
Fertilizer.
Anyway.
What Johnny's talking about is high nitrogen fertilizer.
Yeah.
Flowering plants don't. They'd rather starve than nitrogen.
Yeah, with the nitrogen.
The nitrogen will give you some nice green leaves.
Yeah, but the flowers will suffer for it. See, I would, and this is a typical extension answer. Do a soil test, and find out what the soil the nutrient levels are. You might have phosphorus is what I'm thinking. You might be lacking some phosphorus. That sometimes will encourage blooms, but That's what I would start off with, just around the canopy, from the canopy of the tree into about, 2 to 3 feet from the trunk.
That doesn't mean you have to dig up the whole area.
No. Just do samples, maybe, 6 to 10 samples around and mix them all together in a plastic container. And
down about 6 inches?
About 6 to 8. If you can get down 8 inches with all the rain we've had, maybe you can get 8 inches down.
Okay.
And just do a sample right now. Soil samples are free. NCDA does as a free service from end of March, first of April, till the end of November.
And you can take them to Old Mart over there in Orange County.
Yeah,
Extension Service in Hillsboro.
I'm sure Mart will get them over there because Mart lives in Raleigh. I think he takes the samples over.
Yeah, I think I've seen that place. Is it off of 86, maybe?
I think it is. They got a new place. I say new. It's been there 2 or 3 years now. But
in Hillsboro.
I think it is 86, yeah. But just, if you just Google... Orange County Cooperative Extension, it'll take you.
Stephen, hold on a second. We'll be right back here on WPTF Weekend Gardener. Mike Raley here. It's 8:42. We're back at 8:45, and Stephen is with us. We're going to get to James and Rocky Mount coming up. Stephen, we were just talking off the air about Rufus mentioned what you were talking about, his soil. You were also mentioning the soil, I think.
Yes. Well, Stephen, to have four that do not bloom, it's very unusual. It means that something, in my opinion, is wrong with your soil, because you would not generally buy four crepe myrtles and all four of them not bloom. That's just all there is to it.
Yeah.
There are some flowers, just very few compared to what I see just, I don't know, on a random tree on the side of the road.
We used to worry about Japanese beetles. I don't see Japanese beetles like I used to, but they would eat the flowers often.
We did have some beetles when we had some cherry trees, but they seemed to, they died off, and the beetles left with them.
Is there any kind of a gummy substance on the leaves, Stephen?
No.
Okay.
So you don't have any powdery mildew or anything like that?
Doesn't seem so. Aphid problem.
Do they seem to have bloomed better since you said you cut down some trees and maybe cut back on fertilizing the lawn? Have they started blooming better since then?
I mean, possibly. I just this year the trees have been gone since the spring, but I don't notice that the crepes are blooming any better this year than they did last year.
Did you say how long ago you planted them?
They're about 10 years old.
Oh, well, they should be well established.
Yeah. I think there's
I see a lot of, I don't know what you call them, the pods where the blooms come from. I see a lot of them, but they just don't bloom. They don't open up.
So they bud. So the flowers, the flower buds form, but they don't open up.
Yeah.
And Stephen, sorry if you've mentioned this. Now, have they bloomed in the past?
There are some blooms, but just not a lot.
So the 10 years that they've been there, they've not really produced.
I think in the earlier years they did better.
You're getting more mysterious by the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. What has changed?
The only thing that has changed is me removing those trees this year. What else has changed?
Well, that should have helped.
Yeah, it should have helped. I think my wife may have planted some tulips and other things around the trees.
No, that's not going to do it. The soil test is something you definitely want to do, but any other recommendations, guys?
Is there anything I should be doing
with pruning?
Well, I was going to ask about pruning. what do you do with pruning?
Nothing. I have done nothing.
Okay, that's fine.
That's perfect.
Yeah, you don't want to.
You could thin them out, but I mean that's fine. I was just making sure you didn't,
And that means you open up the canopy. You cut limbs that are crossing each other and do kind of interior limbs.
Just sort of thin it out. So you could do that. You should be getting blooms. If you haven't done anything,
I've done nothing.
Yeah, well, Stephen, they were trying to catch you at crepe murder.
We were baiting you for that. But
I saw some landscapers like completely lopping them off.
You should have given them a piece
of your mind. I looked that up and they said no, so I didn't.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. I've got crepe myrtles in my yard that have never been pruned and they bloom beautifully. So
I don't know that. Where did that come? It's an old wives' tale, I guess.
What's that?
No offense against old wives, but it's just
pruning crepe
myrtles.
They bloom on new growth, and that's they think the more new growth you have, the better it's going to bloom. But it's they took it to an extreme. I don't know where
they look awful. Yeah, and I think Raleigh requires a lot of trees, a certain amount of trees for businesses and so forth. But you often find that businesses, these large parking lots that they have, I guess the trees get too big for them.
They get too big, yeah. That's a lot of the cases.
And so they always trim them back, or maybe they look neater. Freaks.
And I've seen some of the landscapers now are what they call, and I've gone blank on the pollarding. They do a pollarding, semi-pollarding on them, and that looks better. It's where
Isn't that an exercise regimen? Pilates.
I don't know anything about exercises.
Well, tell me what you're talking about then, Johnny.
Pollarding is when you cut it back to the same place every year, but you don't cut it back hard. You just cut the top part, the very tip part, and that'll sprout out new growth there. And I've seen that in Person County. I don't know who does it. I don't know what landscaper does it, but they do it to some of the crepe myrtles there, and that looks pretty good. You're not just cutting them way back, and that is a method that they use. It's mainly, I think in Europe they use that.
Well, I do that on hydrangeas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Your Pilates.
Right. Yeah.
Do the Pilates. Take that. Here, Pilates. Have a Pilates.
Just get a soil test and start.
Yeah,
start
I would
with
definitely
that
start with the soil test.
And call us back after you get the
all
results.
Right. Yeah, I will. I got lots more questions.
Okay. Do you have more questions now or
in the future? I'll save them. Your lawn, your warm weather versus cold weather or cool weather last week, and
I'm trying to
convince my wife to go with a Rufus lawn.
Oh,
well,
good.
I'll tell you, that's what I've done. That is what I've done, and it's I've just have so many trees and shrubs. Grass cannot compete with the roots.
Yeah,
it's just a fact.
Yeah.
Well, mixing a little clover with that Stephen.
Definitely.
Oh,
That's good for the soil.
I was thinking that.
It attracts bees, so watch where you step.
Well, you know, the Rufus lawn, Gary, is if it's green, mow it. And it all looks the same.
That's right. That's right.
And well, Stephen, you just don't worry. I know people that worry themselves to death.
And I love
about
those
their
beautiful
lawn.
Lawns.
If you're going to garden, why worry yourself to death about having a perfect lawn?
Yeah.
And nature's not perfect.
That's true.
It comes the closest anything else
That's
to being.
That's true. Stephen, thank you very much.
It was a pleasure, gentlemen. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
Thank
Bye.
You.
All right, let's head to Rocky Mount. James, how you doing, buddy?
Fine. Thank you for taking my call. To tell you before we start, I'm kind of hard of hearing, so if you can talk a little louder and a little slower. And I've got two questions.
All right. Well, I do that anyway.
Okay. Here's my first question. I've got a hydrangea that I planted 5 years ago. Its first year, it sent out one bloom, just a beautiful burgundy red color bloom. The next year, it sent out about three. And the year after that, seven or eight. Well, the year following that, which was last year, come about this time of year, the leaves started turning brown and falling off, and the stems started dying. The leaves were so bad that they would crunch in your hand, and the stems would snap right into it. And I thought, well, what in the world got hold of this? And so I was about ready to pull it up and throw it out, and then new growth started coming out. Well, this year, it did the same thing again, and all the leaves have just about fallen off of it, no blooms, and the stems have cracked, you know, from being dead, but new growth is coming out again. What do you think's going on?
Oh. I don't know.
What plant again?
Hydrangeas.
Hydrangeas. I thought that's what you said.
Did you say what variety hydrangea is it?
That I don't know. Okay. The blooms are big and beautiful. I bought it at Sam's Club.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So it's a
so it might not have been raised around here, but
yeah. But is it pink or blue blooms depending on
the color is a beautiful reddish wine color. And as I say, I've had it 5 years. The first 3 years it was fine, but last year, the same time, it started doing what it's doing again this year.
Huh. Yeah, do you have any other hydrangeas in your landscape?
Oh, I have one that I bought at the same time, but I planted it on the side of the house. It gets less sun. It's twice as high and full of blooms. Nothing wrong with it, but this one, it's
full
the
sun.
Front of the house. It gets full sun.
Yeah, that may be the problem.
Pardon me?
That may be the problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Too much sun?
Yeah. What did the instructions say? If we knew the variety, you know, some of the PG hydrangeas, like Limelight, for instance, just adore the sun.
Yeah,
I mean, they
just
flourish in the sun. But this is a different type, and I would say that it would prefer Rufus. Gary, do you have hydrangeas?
We do, and we've got them on either side of the house, but the way our house is oriented, they get partial sun. One gets morning sun, one gets afternoon sun.
Yeah, morning sun would be good.
Yeah, but the one that actually gets more afternoon sun is bigger and does better. But the one on the other side of the house is so hardy. We had a new air conditioning system put in a couple of years ago, and we had that hydrangea pulled out. Well, apparently we didn't pull all the hydrangea out, and it came back from the root.
All right.
And it was coming from underneath that concrete pad.
My goodness.
Yeah. Wow. So
it was there.
I mean, it's like a crepe myrtle. You can't kill it.
Yeah.
So should James move this to a location that has less sun?
I'll do that, but as I say, the first 3 years it was fine.
Yeah.
It was about 3 feet tall, but last year started doing this and it just kills it out. But
have you noticed any weather related things? I mean, like a hot, dry time?
No, I water it every morning.
Maybe you water it too much.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now you said what I think.
You can water, overwater plants and they will exhibit. Now, hydrangeas, usually when it's real hot, they're exposed to heat. they will just wilt and just kind of drop down.
Yeah,
and
you think
that they are dry,
but they're not.
And you can overwater them, and you can kill a plant just as easily with too much water as too little.
Well, I thought high being in the name meaning water.
Well, no. Wait a minute, James. No.
No, no. It's not hydro. But that's very good. Because my first thought was it's a root issue, a root rot issue. The fact that it was coming back sort of threw me. Because
well, I was just told off on
the
watering it and keeping it on it.
Well, because,
I mean, it's getting enough water. Y'all get enough water in Rocky Mount, aren't you? Anyway.
Pardon me?
Y'all are getting enough water in Rocky Mount.
Oh, yes. I mean, we've had the rain.
Yeah, so it doesn't need any extra water.
Yeah.
That may be it. Well, let me throw this one at you. Here's another strange one. I plant flowers, blooming flowers. I got a beautiful.
Hey, James, we gotta take a break. Can you hold on a little bit?
Yes.
I'm sorry about that. We'll be back here on WPTF's Weekend Gardener.